Here we are with our Congressional Corner scholar in residence, Brad Hayes, who is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. And Brad, I guess the first question that I have been wanting to ask you for a long time is to help us out with the politics and the substance of the GOP tax overhaul plan.
Yeah, right. So obviously, this has been in the news a lot. It's a unpopular bill that was passed. Republicans believe that they can, in some ways, bolster its popularity through a public relations campaign, but they have a lot of work to do. I mean, if you're looking at the polling right now, it's, you know, roughly about 20 to 22 points in the deficit for approval, right? So it's that makes it much less popular than things like the Affordable Care Act as it was going through. So it is a deeply unpopular bill. And if you look at the partisan divides, one of my favorite polls showed that Democrats had a 3% approval of the tax bill, which actually puts it in the margin of error. So it could be zero.
That's extraordinary. I saw that too, and I was astounded by it.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever seen something quite so low. So anyway, all that is to say that it's a very unpopular bill. And the unpopularity, if we wanted to try to unpack some of the reasons why, I think there are a bunch of things going on. One, Trump himself is deeply unpopular right now, you know, kind of mired in the mid, and if you're finding a more generous poll, upper 30th percentiles. And so I think most anything that he does is going to in some ways reflect his own popularity, meaning that it's going to be an unpopular bill right now. The Republican framing of the bill wasn't particularly good, right? In other words, they either allowed or failed to combat the idea that this was a corporate tax cut, right? That this is something that is going to benefit Wall Street at a time when Wall Street has high profitability, to really in some ways kind of dominate the way that we talked about the bill. And so that narrative frame is going to hurt it because, of course, as most Americans then view it, they see it as a giveaway to the affluent and corporate America. Beyond that, I think that there's something to be said here about the success of the Republican or at least conservative narrative on deficits and debts, right? That in other words, Americans increasingly are expressing a desire for not to add grotesquely to deficit and debt. And this did that, right? I mean, the projections are pointing to, you know, $1.5 trillion to the deficit, and this coming from Republicans. So it just, you know, smells of hypocrisy in a way that looks, again, like a corporate giveaway.
And yet, Brad, there are so many Republicans on that poll you reported us,
yes,
who seem to be wildly in favor of this tax cut.
Yeah, and it speaks to our polarization, right? That anything that, you know, the Republicans do, Republicans approve of, anything Democrats, anything that they do, Democrats are going to disapprove of. But even if you're looking at people that are identifying as independents, it looks like an unpopular bill. And so that's a particular problem. And I think in some ways, like one of the things that we may disagree a lot in terms of partisanship today, but both parties seem to have some awareness, and the American people certainly do, that wealth inequality is kind of the central issue in American politics today. And that this tax plan seems like it's just exacerbating those problems of wealth inequality in the United States rather than addressing them. And if we, you know, think back all of a little over a year ago when Trump was on the campaign, he was talking about addressing those things, that he was going to be an advocate for working America, bring working class jobs back. And this does not feel like that kind of a tax plan. So, you know, it seems as if then, you know, people that are not just responding in tribal ways, right, that this is my party and therefore it's good, or this is not my party and therefore it's bad, are also thinking in terms of inequality and looking at this plan and seeing that it appears to be one that is actually harmful in terms of inequality rather than beneficial, right? And you can even look there at the ways in which it's messing with the health insurance markets, right? The elimination of the individual mandate is only going to harm the healthcare markets in a way that has in some ways benefited, working and middle class America. So that's a real challenge, I think, for this. And no matter what Republicans do in terms of kind of repackaging this as a way of growing the economy, growing jobs, getting better jobs, higher salaries, they're still going to run into all of these problems. And so they have a lot of work to do.
And how does this affect the 2018 election?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's a little too early to tell, right? We know that it's deeply unpopular. We don't know if they can do anything to increase its popularity. But right now, they're in a hole, right? They've just passed a deeply unpopular law when the polling looks terrible for Republicans. The generic congressional polls are showing basically about a 13-point advantage right now for Democrats. And basically, if you look at the calculations, Democrats probably need about an 8-point advantage going into the election in order to secure the House.
And yet, so many of the districts are gerrymandered that you as a political scientist know. So what percentage of the vote would it take to overcome a gerrymandered district as opposed to a fair fight district?
Right. No, it depends on how gerrymandered the district is. But what we've seen is that since 2010, a 50% of the total House vote gets Democrats 204 seats. So well below the 217 that you would expect for about 50% of the vote share. 51% gets you around 213. 52% can get you to 221, right? So in other words, you need to have about 52% of the overall vote in order to have a chance. And if we're looking at thinking about, well, how does that line up with the generics? About an 8 to 10 point advantage in the generic polls translates to about a 5 point popular vote margin. And so if we're looking at somewhere between 5 and 10 points in the Democratic column, then it's a likely pickup of about 30, maybe 32 seats in the House. And that would, of course, then mean that the Democrats are able to take back the House. So things are trending well like that in that vein for Democrats, excuse me. We'll have to see how things play out in the coming year.
Historically, the party that is not the president's party picks up seats in these off elections.
It does. The Republicans are likely to lose seats anyway, but they have a lot of seats in the House to give up. So that is survivable. But the current polling is not. Deeply unpopular president. The House isn't really faring any better in terms of the way that its approval is polling. So this is a problem. And while gerrymandered districts does a lot of work, it doesn't do enough when we're kind of seeing the types of numbers that we're seeing right now. So Republicans have a lot of work to do in 2018.
So Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, holds a PhD in Government and Politics from the University of Maryland, and he has a wide-ranging expertise in everything running from American political development to the Supreme Court to American institutions, and we're lucky to have him. He is our scholar in residence. Thanks so much, Brad.
Thank you.